Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Boney James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Leila, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Smooth Jazz, this is Terry, a.k.a. the Jazz Queen. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz. It is Saturday, January 16th. I'm sorry, Sunday. Sunday, January 16th. We're almost done with January, so, you know, just flying by. It is Sunday, January 16th, 2011. Thank you so much for joining us. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great today, Terry. Doing great.
Good, good. Let me welcome the chat, TSJ Chatters, Cheryl B., Chris O'Neill. As you can see, Mr. Newton, our guest, is in the chat room. I want to welcome the guest and also Jason Parker, who is a friend of Farnell. So welcome, Jason, to the show. If you would like to join us in the chat room, please go to blogtalkradio.com. Scroll down the home page till you get to the live chat with box. Look for Talking Smooth Jazz, and then click on the play chat button. If you're listening on Facebook, just go to my Talking Smooth Jazz page to click on the link for the Farnell Newton Show. You can also call in and speak with Farnell on 646-716-5485, 646-716-5485. All right, our guest today is trumpeter, composer, hip-hop producer, and educator, Farnell Newton, and he joins us today to talk about his upcoming debut CD, Class Is Now in Session. Mr. Newton, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Michael. It's an honor and pleasure to be here.
Well, we thank you so much for joining us. It's an honor for us to have you. And I know Mike asked you about this before we came on, but you too attended NAMM this weekend. So how was that?
The NAMM show is wonderful. You know, I don't even know how many thousands of people there are, but, you know, you see some of the greatest musicians, recording artists, and horn companies and music companies from all around the world. So.
All right. Well, we interviewed another artist yesterday who was at NAMM, Quentin Gerard. Talked to him about it as well. So I wish it was open to the public. I would love to go and see what it is you guys do down there. Did you perform?
No, I didn't perform at NAMM. I mean, I went to L.A. and performed with a salsa band. But, you know, we're playing the whole time we're there, you know, going around to different booths and, you know, you're showing off and letting people know what you got and who you are and things like that. So having a good time the whole time.
All right. All right, well, welcome to those that are coming into the chat room. It's Anita, Joe from Germany, Cheryl. Thank you guys for joining us. If you have a question for Farnell, just post it in the chat room. He is in the chat room, so he will see your question. You just post it in there. Okay, so let's start with this upcoming debut project of yours. Class Is Now in Session. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes.
Tell us about it.
Well, in the last year, I've been playing with saxophonist Mike Phillips and kind of branching out from the straight-ahead jazz music that I was playing before. And I've been playing with all kind of artists this year, from Najee to Marion Meadows to Will Downing, and I decided, well, you know, I wanted to pursue something that was a little bit more groove oriented, hip hop with R&B and soul music. So I decided to do this record. and class is now in session because I'm a professor as well. So I thought that would be the best title for the album since, you know, most of the musicians on the road call me the professor anyway. So now, you know, with the mentorship from Mike Phillips and some other great musicians from Atlanta and the D.C. area, you know, I decided to record it, and it's turning out to be a great project.
Okay, who's working with you on it?
Who's working with me on it? Mike Phillips will be on it. I have a flute player in the DMV area, Trey Ellie, that will be on it. A lot of local great musicians in Portland, Oregon, who I play and perform with. I'm going to have saxophonist in Atlanta, Ryan Kilgore, who was on Talk of Smooth Jazz, and some other different people. I'm not trying to, since this is my first release, I didn't want it to be too heavy guest feature, but, you know, still have a few of my good friends on the album.
Now, you've been all over the country studying music, like the traditional and everything like that. You've been to Philly, you know, you relocated to Denver, you know. Where are your roots at as far as, like, you know, I know you're in Denver now. How the music scene in the different states that you studied in, from Philly to Denver, how has that really helped you, you know, form the way you are now musically?
Well, being in Philadelphia was the big step for me because that's where the young musicians taught me about music. We was in the clubs and playing jazz at 16 and 17, and I didn't even know you couldn't be that age and be in a club because it was normal for us to be there. So I learned a lot from a lot of great musicians that I hung out with. And then in Denver, when I moved there, and I was still in high school in Denver, but I kind of stood out from everyone else. So, you know, I was still in the clubs playing with people, great straight-ahead jazz musicians. I would go and sit in, like, every couple of weeks and go and sit in with Nelson Rangel at his gigs. And then, you know, I moved to Ohio to do my undergrad at Oberlin Conservatory of Music, and which was a great honor because the history of the school goes back for many, many years of great musicians. And then I moved out here in Portland, Oregon, and out here, you know, performing and recording and working with all kind of musicians in Portland. And the scenes are all totally different, you know. In Portland, you don't hear a lot of groove-oriented smooth jazz or R&B jazz compared to when you're out east or in Atlanta or Philadelphia and things like that. So it's different music scenes all over, but I always try to find my way and adapt to the environment of wherever I'm at to play music. So.
And I hear that there's like only one jazz club in Portland.
Well, yeah, there's one big jazz. There's a bunch of little ones and stuff, but the main big jazz club is Jimmy Max. That's the jazz club in Portland, Oregon.
Okay. Now, did you see the question in the chat room from Jason regarding the Kickstarter program?
Oh, yeah, Jason. Let me see.
He said, well,
let
me hear your thoughts about your Kickstarter campaign, how it went, what worked, and what you would have done differently.
Yeah, I saw to help fund my album, I used a website called Kickstarter, which basically helps you get funds ahead of time to help you with the project. So basically people will pre-order the record in different ways, an MP3, a signed autographed CD. They might get the new one and an old CD. They might even get T-shirts or a plaque or various different things to help you get the money ahead of time so that you can finish out your record. And it was a wonderful experience to do that because it's all about social media. If you have no social media savvy skills, it would be hard for you to get funded because this is a solely online project where, you know, you set a goal and you set the days of how many of whatever it is and the price, and then when it's done, you get the money to complete your project. So it was a wonderful experience. It was kind of nerve-wracking the last, like, 2 days because you're like, oh, I'm almost there. I got about $500 left. Please, please let it go through. And it's kind of like eBay, you know, you're waiting for that bid. So, but, it, you know, it was a great experience, and I'm glad that it went through with the support and help from a lot of different friends and just music lovers who support independent artists. Because, you know, nowadays the record labels are kind of obsolete in many ways, where we as independent artists can put out our own records and sell them online without the need or the help of a record label.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Okay. Okay.
Now, acting for now, you, this is your debut CD solo, but you've actually released a CD already called Sense of Direction, which was with pianist Marcus Reynolds.
Yeah. When I first moved to Oregon about 2000, I used to go in a guitar center, you know, on the weekends, like in sweatpants and a T-shirt, just to go and play on the instruments. And I kept hearing this piano player, and I was like, man, you know, what's your name? And he worked there, and he also went to school in Michigan, and we used to, Oberlin Conservatory, will always meet up with Michigan for different jazz festivals and stuff, and we became good friends and started writing music, and we put a quartet and a quintet together, and we played together for many, many, many years, you know, and in 2006, we ended up putting a Straight Ahead album out with some of his composition and some of mine on a local jazz label in Portland called Dyadic Records. But it wasn't my first, it wasn't my solo project. It was both of us, you know. And I only wrote two songs on the whole thing, so.
Will you guys be doing any more music in the future?
Oh, with me and Marcus? I don't know. You know, he lives further out of Portland, and, you know, he's raising his family, and he teaches a lot. We'll probably do something again soon, but right now, you know, I'm just trying to get my name out there as a solo artist, so you know, so I could build my worth up and in the industry. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I introduced you as a hip hop producer. Who have you worked with?
Well, as far as hip hop, I've just worked with a lot of great local artists from California, Portland, New York, and Miami. I haven't done anything that you will hear on the radio, even though I have sent all of them guys songs and they wanted to use my songs. But, you know, I just worked with a lot of great local artists around the country.
Okay. Okay. I asked because I was thinking that, you know, if you produced a hip hop artist and you were playing on their music, you would be introducing a non-traditional instrument, the trumpet, into the hip-hop genre.
I definitely do that. I mean, there's a group out of Portland called Lifesavers who tours around the world. I'm playing on their records. There's a young woman from Atlanta, Georgia, named Iman Williams. I'm playing on her records, and it gives it, you know, it's a non-traditional viewpoint, but it's also still fusing the jazz and the love of hip-hop. Because, I mean, if you look at so-called the first hip-hop video that was on MTV was Herbie Hancock's Rocket, you know, and that was, you know, all electronics and keyboards and from a jazz musician. So, you know, it's a non-traditional look at the hip-hop and the jazz, but it's always been together kind of paralleled all the way to now, you know, and now it's being fused all over the place. You hear jazz and hip-hop music with all kind of different artists, so.
Yeah, definitely. Now, speaking of that, like I said, you know, started with the traditional thing, but like I said, you moved into a more contemporary thing, and like I said, I know that you play with Mike. So how did you guys hook up?
Well, I was supposed to play with Mike years ago, but because I lived in Portland and his band at the time was based out of New York, we didn't hook up then. But then he's always in Portland because he's endorsed represents Brand Jordan from Nike. So he's always in Portland. And we used to just hook up, you know, people introduce us and say, hey, you know, y'all got to hear each other play. And we got together and played a couple shows together. And ever since then, he was like, Farnell, you know, I love your playing. And I feel like everyone else needs to hear your playing. So he was like, I'm going to do whatever I can to get you out there as an artist and as a musician. So.
Cool.
And he did the same thing with Ryan Kilgore.
Oh, yeah.
He's good. I mean, he's good at
He's done that to a lot of different musicians, because if you look at his last, like, two trumpet players, you have Lee Hogans, who plays now with, you know, Prince and Jay-Z and performs with Maceo Parker. And then if you look at his other trumpet player, Keon Harold, Keon Harold plays with, he wrote all of that music on Maxwell's last CD. He tours with Maxwell. He played with Jay-Z. He's played with everyone, you know, so.
Okay. Now, there's a question in the chat room. Anita would like to know, where does the name Bleak come from?
So my hip-hop name was Bleak Beats, and the name Bleak comes from Mo Better Blues, and because his name was Bleak Gilliam. Denzel Washington played Mo Better Blues in the Spike Lee joint. And and a good friend of mine is Maurice Brown, a young contemporary trumpet player in New York. He goes by Mo Better. So I was like, what name should I choose? And I was like, I'm just going to go by Bleak Beats. And it's pretty funny because I was at the Soul Train Awards recently, and someone came up to me and said, man, I know you from somewhere. And I was like, well, you know, do you listen to jazz? You know, I play with these people. And he said, no, you're Bleak Beats. You're the hip-hop dude. So it's pretty funny, you know, even though I don't produce as much as I used to. A lot of people know me around the country just because, you know, I was always online. I was always promoting music and putting out drum kits and products and things like that. So,
okay.
Well, that's cool. Now, Fonda, you mentioned the Soul Train Music Awards. How was the experience of working on a show like that?
It was wonderful. You know, I just finished my second year of doing it in Atlanta, Georgia. And, I mean, it's so humbling to, you know, perform with greats like Ron Isley. You know, you're playing with R. Kelly. You're playing with Anita Baker. Last year we did Chaka Khan. And it's just a wonderful experience to meet people like Layla Hathaway and Kim and Rochelle Farrell. And, I mean, it's just the list goes on and on and on of great musicians that I met at the Soul Train Awards.
All right. Now, Farnell's upcoming debut CD is called Class Is Now in Session. It's scheduled to be released sometime in March, around his birthday, he says. And he did send me one song from the CD to get a little sneak peek from that. And the song is called "It's the Bluest Eyes." Is that the one?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
tell me about this one.
It's a take. Well, I originally did "The Bluest Eyes" and on my release with Marcus Riddle's call, "Sense of Direction." And it's a straight-ahead jazz piece that I wrote years ago in college. But I decided, well, I'm going to take a different twist on it. So it starts off as a straight-ahead song, and then it goes into something else totally different where, you know, I'm playing all the horns on it, I'm beatboxing, I'm singing on it, I'm talking on it. So it's pretty a fun track, just like a, you know, just like a hangout, and we all in a room partying, jamming, and listening to good music, kind of, you know, like the old school music. So,
okay, and this song is just a little over 2 minutes long. So this is "The Bluest Eyes" from Farnell Newton's upcoming CD. Class Is Now in Session.
Yeah.
Okay, when I first heard the song, because I played it, and when I first heard it and I heard that little scratch and then it went into the music, I was like, okay, did something happen? Did I do something wrong?
You thought you broke something, Terry?
I mean, I was like, okay, what happened here? But it was, I like that. I like the way you did that.
Yeah. It's just to let people know, you know, hey, I do the straight ahead jazz stuff, and I could do funk and soul and all this other stuff, but in a way that is not disrespectful to, you know, the jazz elders and to other people who I respect and love, you know.
Okay, I have a question from the chat room. John Raven would like to know, being from both hip-hop and jazz backgrounds, what can hip-hop learn from jazz and vice versa?
I mean, from on a jazz aspect, the energy of hip-hop is, and I mean, just the groove and the, because when you hear a good hip-hop song, you can't help but to bob your head and to kind of stomp your feet and clap or snap or whatever it is. And that's what I think that, you know, hip-hop brings to jazz. Now, on the other hand, jazz brings to hip-hop so much more chords and change and changes and different movements and different things that they add to it. And then the instrumentation and then the keyboards and things like that are brought to the hip-hop music. So, you know, and it just gives it a little bit more depth instead of just being a loop going over and over and over. You know, you actually have changes and movements you go into. So, and actually
okay.
I met John Raven. I actually met John Raven when I was doing all of my hip-hop producing. He lives out here in Oregon, and that's how we met through, because he's a producer as well. So, small world.
Well, all right. Well, thank you for the question, John. I wanted to kind of go back to the non-traditional instrument being played in hip-hop, because you also worked with Bootsy Collins.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about that and how you worked with him.
Well, I met Bootsy at the 2009 Soul Train Music Awards. We played on the tribute together for Charlie Wilson. And you know, we just talked, and he wanted to get some horn players for his new album. And so he approached Mike Phillips, and Mike was like, hey, you know, well, you did just have a horn section at the Soul Train Awards. So he ended up using me and Mike on a couple of different songs on the record. But, you know, Bootsy, you know, being as legendary he is in the funk movement, funk music is not funk music, especially without having some horns on top of it. But it was just an honor to work with Bootsy. I just saw him recently in Anaheim at the NAMM show, and he's just a wonderful person to work with and has so much knowledge and wealth of music and just social activity. He's a very social person dealing with the community of people in music and also in his neighborhood and city. So,
okay. Now, I have two songs that you sent me from the Hidden Beach Unwrapped Volume 7 CD, One More Drink and I Can't Believe It. So I'm going to start with I Can't Believe It. Tell me about this one.
Well, the thing about the Unwrapped theory from Hidden Beach is that, you know, it takes the songs off the radio that you love so much, but you really can't stand listening to the words because it might be degrading women or really talking about a lot of materialistic things that a lot of us don't really have and don't really, you know, take part of. So now we take those same format and we jazz them up in a way. You know, we bring in the horns, the instruments, and make it a better song for all people to listen to instead of just the young kids. You know, you can have adults listening to it as well as young kids and give the young kids appreciation of jazz music and also give the adults a more appreciation of hip-hop music in a way. So, and I've been working with, you know, Hidden Beach and Mike Phillips and Charles Whitfield and those guys for quite a while now, and just an honor to be on that record with them. So, and I Can't Believe It, it's with me, Mike Phillips, Trey Ellie on flute from the Baltimore, Maryland area, and myself.
All right, from the Unwrapped Volume 7, this is I Can't Believe It. I Can't Believe It from the Hidden Beach Unwrapped Volume 7 CD.
I like that one. Yes. With Freya Ely representing DC on that one. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Now, I read that you performed with Aretha Franklin. Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. I read that you performed with Aretha Franklin. What was that experience like?
That was a wonderful experience. You know, I was still I was still in college, and she used to come to Ohio a bunch. And, you know, they always give someone the kind of like to get the horn sections together or different pieces of the band. And they called me up and wanted me to play with them. And And it was just wonderful because, you know, I grew up listening to all of those songs and loved all of those songs. And I'm sitting here on stage with Aretha Franklin, you know, playing, you know, Daydreaming and Respect and all these songs that, you know, who my folks and grandparents and everyone else listened to. And it was just, you know, it was kind of surreal at first, you know. And then it was like, hey, I get to come back the next day and do it again. And then it's like, hey, I get to come back next month and do it again as well. So it was each time I had a wonderful experience. You know, her band was wonderful. The band was smoking. The music was great. You know, it was a well-oiled machine. So all we had to do is just come in and just play the horn stuff on top of it and just make it even sound even better. So, yeah. I mean, it's right. Pretty legendary to perform with, you know, Aretha Franklin, mm-hmm. you know. She is
mm-hmm,
the queen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Okay, Mike, you had a question?
Yeah, I was going to get into, you know, Farnell being a professor at Portland State and ask him, how did you become a teacher? What made you go into teaching?
Well, I've always taught. Even when I was in undergrad school, I used to work with this program and Tri-C Community College in Cleveland, working with youth and young kids, everything from, like, you know, 5 to 6 year olds all the way to, you know, 58-year-olds. So when I moved to Portland, I worked for the city for a while doing computers and things like that. And I was like, you know, what am I doing? You know, I've always done music. I've always performed music. So I ended up going back to school at Portland State University doing a TA position for 2 years, and then right after that, they hired me up. You know, they wanted me to teach. Even before I finished school, it was like, if we could, we'll hire you now. But so I had to finish up school. They hired me up, and it's wonderful. You know, I work with college students of all ages, and it's just good to be around that environment because I learned so much from them, and, you know, they keep me humbled and practicing and keep myself learning more about music as I teach them as well. So,
okay, cool. So now working with the kids and everything, how do you relate the way things are today? You know, try to get them make jazz a little more. You know, because kids nowadays they don't want to play instruments. Cause my son was into playing the instrument first, but he found it uncool and things like that. How do you keep the kids interested and try to get them to know that, you know, in this contemporary jazz type of thing, they can make records like Hidden Beach, making with the hip-hop and everything versus just doing straight-ahead traditional jazz?
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing about it is you got to let them know because, you know, they all might listen to Jay-Z or Lady Gaga or whoever it is, but you have to let them know and show them what's really there. You have to say, well, look, you have this type of artist, but who's making the music behind of it? You know, you got to show them videos or take them to performances and let them actually see that there's live musicians playing behind these bands. Because now if you look at the trend where he's got the sniffles. Oh, someone said I got the sniffles. Yes. Sorry about that. So, you know, so you got to show them that at one point it was about all of those musicians was playing to tracks and to, like, you know, Pro Tools files and stuff. But now all the big bands have live bands because it gives you a greater experience and a greater love of the music and excitement when you see a live band up there playing drums, rocking out with Justin Bieber or whoever it is, you know. So the thing about it, you just have to let them know and expose them to there are many different possibilities, so they know that they're not just playing this one type of music or straight-ahead music, that they can play the hip-hop music they like, the rock music they like, the pop music they like, or whatever. You know, it's just about, you know, approaching them on their level. So,
yeah.
But still teaching them and instilling the fundamentals of practicing and you know, being a disciplined musician at the same time and still having fun.
Yeah. And now on that, you started an organization, a project called the PDX Jazz Project. Tell us about that.
Well, the PDX Jazz Project is a high school-only program. And this portion of the program. It's usually with musicians who've had a couple years of performing already or playing mm-hmm. jazz music. So I take nothing but high school kids and get them together once a week, and we work on music. We work on music by, you know, great musicians, Hank Mobley. We might play like a Miles Davis. We might play a John Coltrane. Then we might play something more contemporary, like a Roy Hargrove hip-hop song or, you know, or various other different things. And then I also booked them performances around the city at Jimmy Max, the V Jazz Club in Portland. And, you know, they do fundraisers and open up for other groups. So, you know, I try to keep them busy and teach them about real-life performing experience instead of just for them to be in a classroom or at home practicing. They can actually go out there and learn about what it takes to be a musician in this day and time.
Okay. All right. Well, that if you'd like to get find out more information about the PDX Jazz Project, just go to pdxjazzproject.com. That's good. That's good. Okay, I have a couple of questions. I have a question from the chat room. Cress O'Neill would like to know. She has a couple of questions. She wanted to know who your jazz influences are. How difficult was it for you to make the transition from hip-hop to jazz and the similarities between the two?
Well, as far as my influences, you know, I started out as a, you know, learning straight-ahead jazz music. So, you know, I listened to Miles Davis and Freddie Hubbard and, you know, Duke Ellington, Count Basie. I really love Terrence Blanchard, the trumpeter from New Orleans, who also did the music for the Levy, Spike Lee's Levy documentary. So, you know, I have so many different influences. Also, you know, then I have a funk influences, you know, listening to, you know, Parliament and the Horny Horns and James Brown and the JBs. And then, you know, I have influences on so many different levels because I just don't listen to jazz. So, but as far as that's my major influences right now. So now going from jazz to hip hop, you know, I've always been. I was born in that generation of hip-hop. So, you know, I grew up listening to hip-hop from as a really young kid to now, and I just wanted to – I used to – when I was young in middle school and high school, I would just sit and turn on the radio and listen and play with what was on the radio. You know, I'd try to play, you know, the songs that was on the radio, whatever it be, hip-hop. It'd be an R&B song. It'd be whatever it is. I would listen to it and play. So it wasn't a hard transition for me to go from jazz to hip-hop and back to jazz because it's something that was always a part of my being, of who I was. So now, what was the last part? It was
she wanted to know the similarities between the two.
I mean, the thing about it is still, you know, it's still is based with rhythm, chord changes, and various different instruments, just like jazz is. You know, jazz is all about rhythm. It's all about chord changes and pianos and bass and things like that. It's very similarities because you got to remember hip-hop came out of jazz and funk music. If you listen to the first hip-hops, like besides Herbie Hancock, people like the Last Poets and groups like those who was doing like spoken word hip-hop before it was even called like rap or anything, you know, they had live instruments. They had congas. They had percussion. They would have a horn player on there. So, you know, it was just a transition that was bound to happen. So there's a lot of similarities in the two. So.
All right. Thank you, Cress, for your questions. All right. I want to get back to one more song. The next song I'm going to play is Daddy's Girls. Tell me about this one.
Well, this is it's kind of in a rough form right now, but it's getting mixed and mastered as we speak. But this is a song by a great musician, Steven Swatkins, that lives in Portland, Oregon. And I only know one other person by the name of Steven, and that's Stevie Wonder. And this guy, Steven Swatkins, probably knows every Stevie Wonder song there is. He's a multi-instrumentalist. He plays, you know, flute, piano, bass, guitars, drums, whatever it is, he plays it. So he put this song together for me, and it was one of the first songs I worked on my album. So.
All right, this is Daddy's Girls.
We love you, Daddy.
Farnell, is that coming? Is that song going to be on the upcoming CD?
Yes, it will. That's one of the main songs off the record. Yes.
Okay. All right. I have a phone call. Area code 310. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thank you so much.
Hi. What's your name?
This is Charles Whitfield calling from Hidden Beach Recordings.
What's going on, Charles?
What's
hey,
up,
Charles?
I had to call and say hello to my man Farnell. So, hello, everyone.
What's up with you?
I'm doing good. How's the interview going, everyone?
Oh, it's going good over here.
Great.
Cool, Farnell. You still out of it now?
No. I left now Saturday morning. So.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to keep up with you, man. You was just in Portland and now.
Yeah, well, I'm now back in freezing North Carolina, but to everyone on the call, I just wanted to give Farnell some props for being a great musician and a great person. I met him probably 5 years ago when he was playing with the artist in Portland named Liv Warfield, but then circled back around
through his work with Mike Phillips, but he also played on the Unwrapped 7 record, but now working on his solo project, which I think is going to be an amazing project. So when I heard you were on, I just wanted to call in and let the listeners know they're in for a treat when you finally get the record finished.
Thanks, bro. Thanks, man. I'll see you
thank
soon
God.
Again.
So, yep, no problem.
Well, thank you so much.
Nope, no problem. I definitely would just love to hang on and hear some of the dialogue.
Oh, sure, no problem. I'll just put you on mute, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so
all
much.
Right.
Thanks,
all right.
All right.
Thanks, bye. Charles.
No problem.
Okay, all right, so Farnell, let's see. What's coming up for you? The new CD is going to be in March. So what are you working on until then?
Well, I'm finishing it up right now in the next couple of weeks, and then to get that out. And then I play with a bunch of musicians in Portland who plays in Mike Phillips band, and we're kind of just known as, you know, the PDX. Because, you know, that's like the abbreviation for Portland, especially for if you fly into Portland, you fly into PDX. So we'll probably be starting on a project soon, just that band as a unit. Since we're always playing and performing and traveling with Mike and other artists around the city, you know, it's about time for us to do a CD as well. So also, I'm also working on other projects of other musicians in Portland and around the country, people calling me up, you know, wanting me to record on their albums and stuff, and just working on teaching these kids and trying to work up some other, you know, projects for them and myself, and trying to get on the road a little bit, you know, go back to Atlanta and work with some other artists. So, you know, I stay busy.
Okay.
That's how. Now, I got to ask you now. I've seen the video, and I got to ask you, is this kid a student of yours or he's a friend? Is this Popcorn? What's up with Popcorn?
So,
I've been seeing the videos, bro. What's up with Popcorn, man? What's up with Popcorn?
It's this kid who I played with when he was a freshman in high school. I've been playing with him ever since he was a freshman in high school at different jazz events around Portland. And this kid, Alex Milstead, you know, he even had his own big band while he was in high school, full of high school musicians. And, you know, he'll call me up and ask me to come and feature and perform with him. But my regular saxophonist in Portland couldn't make it. So I was like, you know, I need to find someone. And I was like, I can't really get a straight ahead jazz guy because they might not be able to deal with the groove and the hip hop side of this music. But then I was like, I can't really get a soul R&B sax player because he might not be able to read and deal with all this hard contemporary stuff that we deal with as well. So I was on Facebook and I said, you know what? Alex is in town. So I called Alex up. He came and read Mike's music down cold. I mean, like, everybody was just there with their mouths open. And this kid is 19. So the next day was his birthday. So Mike and the guys go and get him a birthday cake, and I open up the box, and it's designed as a box of popcorn. And it has, like, popcorn on it and stuff, and it says popcorn on the front. And I looked at Alex. I said, from now on, you are popcorn. So you know how. How musicians, especially black musicians, we'll give somebody a name and 2 seconds flat before we even know the person. So we've been taking Popcorn out with us everywhere we go, you know, just showing him off and letting him play. You know, he's a great musician, and he put in the time and the work to sound the way he sounds. And the thing about it, the dude plays trumpet too and piano.
Oh, wow. Cool.
He's not allowed to play trumpet on the gigs with me, but
yeah.
but he does play trumpet, you know.
That's wrong for me. That's just wrong.
Hey, he's not taking away my gig, so no, I'm not worried about him. But we took him to NAMM show. He's still down there right now. You know, it's a lot of great things coming into store for Popcorn. You know, I introduced him to some key people, and, you know, and it's up to him to now take the ball that I put into his court, just like Mike Phillips put the ball in my court, for me to take off and run and dunk it. So now it's his time. So
I'd love to hear stories like that.
Yeah, he's on the record too. He's on my record too. We've got a couple fusion songs and jazz fusion songs we're playing on that. He's killing. He's doing the thing.
Right, cool. Yeah, 'cause I've seen the videos of him with you guys in Omaha from last year, and Mike did some video with him playing the Mike Phillips sax at NAMM over the weekend. So yeah.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Okay. Cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
I love to hear stories where. I love to hear those stories where you season artists, take these young and up and coming artists under your wings and just kind of mentor them. I love that. Love that.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
And that's what it's about. It's about mentoring these young musicians and giving them the opportunities and to do their own and make their own success up. You know, just like my professors, who were very academic, but they was also real-life musicians who taught me how it really was and gave me the tools necessary to shape my own destiny.
Well, that is so cool. That is so cool. Wow. Well, okay. We have about 7 minutes left, so just let everyone know, you know, where they can find your music until the new CD drops and where they can get in contact with you.
Well, you could go to my website, www.farnellnewton.com. I'm on Facebook as well. You could just search for Farnell Newton, F-A-R-N-E-L-L, last name Newton. And I'm on Twitter. I'm on all of that stuff. I used to work with computers and teach people how to use computers and different things like that. So I'm always on the social media. I'm on all of that stuff. And it pays off. You know, it definitely pays off. I was at the booth, at the Cannonball Trumpet booth while I was at NAMM. And it was like, man, Farnell, you know so many people. Because every time somebody would walk by, they're like, hey, Farnell, what's up? You know, and they just keep networking and you know, meeting new people. So everyone has a different experience and different story to tell, and I love to, you know, always talk to people and hear their stories. So.
Okay. You can also pre-order. Class is now in session on his website, farnellnewton.com. All right. Well, thank you, Farnell, for joining us.
You can follow him, too. You know, he's on Twitter. It's Farnell Newton, right?
Yes.
Farnell Newton, at Farnell Newton on Twitter, so you guys can follow him on Twitter as well.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure to hang out with you, Terry and Michael.
He said Michael. It's just Mike, bro. It's just Mike.
No, it's all good.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, Mike.
It's all good. I'm just messing with you.
There's too many Mikes, you know, because you know, people think I'm talking about Mike Phillips and you know, so. But I got you, Football Mike.
Yeah, Football.
No, Lord, let's not start that.
It's all good.
Well, thank you again, Farnell, for being with us, and we look forward to that new CD being dropped, and we'd love to have you back on when it is.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'll definitely be looking forward to it, and I hope y'all have a wonderful Sunday.
Thank you. You too.
Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Farnell Newton. His new CD, debut project, Class is now in session. It's scheduled to be released in March, so look out for that. Check out his website, farnellnewton.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Farnell Newton. All right, I just want to give a quick shout-out to Victor Fields. His new radio show started today, Regina Records Radio. Debut today on his website, victorfields.com. So check that out next week. I'm not sure if it's an everyday show or if it's a weekly show, but you can go to his website, victorfields.com, and find out more information about that. So congratulations to Victor Fields on his new radio show. All right, Mike, we have 4 minutes left. Do you have anything to add?
No, nothing else to add. Now I can just... get back to my football game.
Get back to your Lord have mercy anyway.
No, but okay, you know, so. Like this, it's football weekend. You know, hey, it's football weekend, and you know, all these games have been pretty good. But Like I said, I've been enjoying the interviews with the guys, and like I said, and tomorrow night we have another great trumpeter too, and Lynn Roundtree coming on tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Like so, and I gotta say, it's good to see somebody else playing something other than the saxophone. I'm sorry, I love the saxophones, but it's so many of y'all. You know, when we get a chance to get a guitarist, trumpeter, or a violinist, anybody on, I'm happy with that because it's, you know, pick up something else besides the sax. You know, really.
Yeah.
But it's all good.
There are a lot of saxophonists out there. You're right, but I'm glad too that we have the that we are bringing on the trumpeters. I have not traditionally been a big trumpet fan, but I'm starting to like it more. So I'm looking forward to talking to Lynn Browntree tomorrow as well. He's another great trumpeter, so looking forward to talking to him. That's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. We are not on next weekend because it is my birthday weekend, and I am trying to get to Seattle. So if I can find a decent airfare to Seattle, that's where I will be next weekend. So we will not be on next weekend, but we will join. You can join us again Monday the 24th with Marcus Johnson. All right, I'm going to close out the show with the last song. It's called One More Drink from the Hidden Beach Unwrapped series with Mr. Newton on it. So
we
I want
to
thank all of those.
Charles Whitfield for giving the call in to Farnell for showing support for Farnell.
Yes, and definitely. Thank you, Charles. Thank you so
much,
Charles.
Bobcats. I know he's a big Charlotte Bobcat. No person,
oh,
so no Charlotte Bobcats.
Okay. Thanks to all in the chat room that joined us, and thanks for Farnell for joining us in the chat room as well. You all have a great day. We look forward to talking to you again tomorrow night with Lynn Roundtree. You have been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you tomorrow night from the Hidden Beach Unwrapped Volume 7 CD. This is One More Drink. Until next time, keep it smooth.
Bird.